Hello, and thank you for joining us. I am your host, Soulful Business and Leadership Coach, Jeffrey Biesecker. We are all on the journey to discover the light inside, that beacon which guides us to live our truest, most authentic self. This is episode 0061. Our beliefs often make or break us, and self-doubt is something we often experience. Even the people who look like they have it all together often have insecurities. Developing healthy, constructive beliefs about yourself allows you to accomplish what you want in life. Do you have difficulty believing in yourself? Then it's time to stop mirroring the stories and experiences of others. People often struggle with their self-confidence because of their past experiences. Being comfortable in our own skin can be a challenge at times. But what if you are lacking this essential trait? Embrace your confident self, because confidence starts with you. Most of us are simply not taught and empowered with this necessary life skill. Our guest, Mike Acker, is going to share a few key components which will allow you to develop the emotional intelligence needed to gain a greater sense of self-confidence and self-awareness, all while becoming a more effective communicator. Mike Acker is a speaker, leadership coach, and best-selling author with over 19 years of experience in speaking, leadership development, and organizational management. Known for his authenticity, humor, and engaging presence, his expertise in communications and leadership has drawn a wide range of speaking engagements. Mike tells us, confident communication equals currency. Building emotional intelligence can be a powerful tool leading us to confidence. Stay tuned to find out how to develop more confidence and translate that into success on The Light Inside. I want to share a little secret with you today about a podcast booking and matching platform I truly love. As a podcast host and guest, my go-to podcast booking app is podmatch.com. If you currently have a podcast, regularly guest on podcast, or if you are new to the podcasting game looking to start your show, podmatch.com is an industry leader. They quickly and effortlessly connect ideal podcast guests and hosts. Their process is super easy and highly effective. Create your free guest or host account and set up your profile. It's really that easy. And the PodMatch AI will work its magic in the background, delivering your ideal interview matches within minutes, tailored uniquely for you. As a host and executive producer of the top 100 self-improvement podcast, The Light Inside, I found more high-quality guests on PodMatch than anywhere else and in a fraction of the time. So if you're looking to expedite your podcast booking experience, filling your calendar with high-engagement content, creating value and meaning for your listening community, check out podmatch.com, that's podmatch.com today, and discover your ideal match magic. I'm super excited to share this episode. With us today is the exceptionally authoritative and engaging speaker, Mike Acker. Mike is also a powerhouse author and leadership coach whom I deeply appreciate and respect, not only for his inspiring thoughtfulness, but also for his thorough sense of empathy and understanding for others. I feel so blessed and grateful to share this time with Mike today, exploring this discussion with you, our awesome listening community. Hello, Mike. Thanks for joining us. How are you, my friend?
Hey, doing well, Jeffrey. Yourself?
I'm fantastic. Yeah. Feeling great today.
Yeah, I love it.
We've been trying to wrangle our schedules for quite some time now, so I'm glad we're finally able to get together with each other today.
I think we originally talked about back in, I don't know, October or something.
Knock on wood, right? Well, I'm glad we can finally align. You know, we've made a couple attempts, and life to me is all about rolling with the punches. At 50 years of age, I'm not much of one for creating unnecessary emotional turmoil and stress. So I'm like, hey, when the stars align, the stars align. And if they don't, sometimes I'm good with that.
Yeah. Love it. No, man, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Now, likewise, I'm so grateful to have you here. I'm interested to dive into this. You know, I've been checking into your material, watching a number of your talks. Such a brilliant speaker. You've really kind of knocked it out of the park to find that confidence and find your voice, yeah, and now sharing that with others. So I'm really excited to dive into some of your thoughts and principles behind how you share these experiences with others and looking at how we can create that on a larger level. I like to take things to that next deeper step. So often we do skim on that surface. How do we get to that core meaning of where those lack of confidences come, where we fall down in finding our sense of self-confidence, where we fall down in finding those blockages of fear? So often we just get, okay, you know, here is a step, here's a practice.
Right.
How do we wind that back, not just from a practical level to teach others, but from a broader level? How do we eradicate some of this energy from our system as a society? That's where I'm heading going into 2021.
I love it. Man, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, it's very interesting when people are talking about public speaking and confidence. One of the startling strategies that I developed and really found is that there's actually a lot of people who are talking about light inside. There's a lot of people who have a darkness inside.
Yeah. We all have that element. Right. We all have this thing.
I'm not even talking about like an evil inside, but there's this like this fear, this.
Yeah, that's our shadow consciousness.
Right. There's something happening that when they were growing up or along the way of the professional development, and not everybody has this, but I talk about it. It's actually the first thing I talk about in my book is that there's sometimes this fear inside of people that is because of something.
Yes.
And now they've had some previous failure. Maybe they got up in front of people and everybody laughed, or maybe they didn't get the interview they wanted. And so they've taken this, they've kind of repressed that memory, but there in their subconscious, it's being projected now to their environments. And a lot of insecurity that people face in life is simply because of some of these past experiences that are coming back to haunt them. So one of the coolest things that I've ever seen in coaching people, I had this client, and obviously I'll be kind of vague with some of the details, but as a young boy, he found out there was something that he didn't like about himself. He didn't like it about it at all. And he went into quite some details. But when he found out this about himself, he thought, man, I hate this about himself. And so he took that, repressed it, didn't think there was anything he could do. But ultimately, he said this, I don't like myself. Now, he went on to be very successful in what he could do. But he didn't like this external aspect about himself. He hated being in front of people because he read into, well, they see it, they don't like me. So he developed all this great content and he got in a spot where he was teaching others. And he's teaching people like high level professionals, but he's always anxious and always very reserved because of something he hated about himself. And by the way, one of those things that you can't change. Yes. It's actually natural to him. There's absolutely no way to so-called improve it or change it, but he didn't like it. And so now he's out there in front of people and thinking that everybody else is seeing that. Well, ultimately what it came down to is a psychological trauma. He's in his 40s. He's had this since he was a kid. He realized some external aspect of just that he was born with, he can't change. Yeah. And he's been fighting it. So one of the things that happened when he came and we were walking through this and just said, what happened in the past? And it was amazing that right away he figured this out. Well, we worked together for a year. A year later, he's on the phone with me and he's talking about what it meant for him to go through the program. And he breaks down in tears and he said, I never told you this, Mike. But after that first session where we talked about discovering the wound inside, I went and talked with a counselor and I journaled about this. And at this point in time, he's, you know, I don't get this a lot, but people crying on the phone. But here he is on Zoom and he's crying. And there's this fear, this darkness inside of him that he finally shed light onto. And although he still could not change that external part, it's just part of who he is physically, biologically, he said, at least I was able to make peace with it. And instead of fighting it and hiding what I could give to others because I didn't like it about myself, yeah, I made peace with it. So for me, like when you're talking about confidence going into 2021, I always tell people, what do you need to make peace with? Sometimes it's a decision that you made that was absolutely wrong. And maybe you did do something dark, but whatever it is, or maybe it's, you know, you're a certain age in life and you're not achieving what you want to have achieved. And sometimes you just need a big peace with the past because you can't go back and change it.
Or even more importantly, peace with where you presently are. You know, we can't change gosh dang thing about the past. So why fret over things you have no influence over? That's where I go with it.
Yeah, don't let the past hold you back.
You can't do anything about it. You can make amends for it. You can make peace with it, but you can't change it. You can't influence and say, well, I'm going to go back and get a do-over. There's no mulligan to life.
Yeah, I think about it like this, that, and I write about this because I think a lot of people, what they have is they have this wound, kind of like those wounds that you have as a kid. So I used to ride my bike hard, right? I'd crash my bike.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I would pick my scabs. And then my scab would get infected and get dirty. What it turned out was that I actually never cleaned it well. And so I got this big infection. When my mom finally saw it, because she reached for me and touched me and I pulled away, she'd say, Mike, you've got an infected wound. We need to go put some alcohol, some hydrogen, whatever, some peroxide in there and bubble it out. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to go in and clean the wound. I just wanted to ignore it. And I think a lot of people do that with their soul, with their anxiety, with their insecurity. They've got a wound in there that instead of cleaning out, and you know, it's like when you fall on the bike.
Yeah.
You got gravel and dirt. You need like scrub it. And so most people just want to ignore the hurt and move on, not realize that they're actually hurting themselves even more for the future.
That's a great connection point. I'm sitting here with that thought. I'm like, yeah, that's, to me, illustrates that so well. We have those little kind of nagging, going even a little kind of weird, gross, festering things that are just bugging us. But for whatever reason, we're programmed to ignore them. We're told by society programming to cover them up. Sometimes it's our own self-value system that's saying, hey, for some reason, I'm putting a bigger value on the other thing. You know, and I know you speak to value and the value ladder so often in your talk.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the value, I was going through this, where do people get value from when they're in front of others? Mm. And so often they don't know. And so I kind of created this value ladder of where you do get value from. And what you do and what you look like, those external ones, definitely those are part of the value, but they're the furthest run.
Subjective value though, and whose opinion?
Right. Value to what you belong to and what you've done, but you're going to get more value not from what you've done, but what you do. What I found was very interesting is after years of being successful in one endeavor, the moment I stopped being in that world, what I had done was no longer valuable. Mm. I mean, if you think about a politician, what they've done might get them to what they're doing, but we don't really care what they've done. We really care what they're doing right now. If your track record is fantastic, but then you don't do a good job, hey, we want your value to be right now. And I say my top value is ultimately who do you belong to? Where's your close-knit friends? Not the friends that you might go out for a drink with or have at your house, but who's that close-knit family, friends? Who are those people in your life who say, oh, he's my, and then friend or my dad or my, those are the places where I get the most value. Whose I am and what I do right now.
You know, we think of that. We're in service to others in those situations. It's that mutual co-creative state that really forms value for most of us because there is that authentic, I'm using the buzzword authentic, give and take. There's that authentic and genuine, I care for you, I nurture you. I also contribute to you with those same senses of loving nurturing.
Yeah, absolutely. That give and take is such a vital part of really any relationship. In communication, there's a give and take too. So a lot of what I do is I'll do some communication workshops. And in communication workshops, there's a lot of people who think they're communicating when they're talking at you. And I always say, they got to pause. You got to learn how to talk to you. Because talking at you is the idea of even just eye scan, which is nowadays in virtual worlds, it's maybe you're looking at the screen, but you're not actually looking at the camera. You don't actually care if they're with you. You just want to get through the presentation. I'd rather connect to someone and give them something that they feel like, hey, Mike gets me and he's helping me in one area versus just telling you 15 areas that you could do, which we can get that from anywhere.
Yeah.
That give and take is vital in communication. It's vital in a book that you're going to write and connect with someone. It's vital in family relationships. It's vital in spirituality. If there's not give and take, if there's not a receiving and passing on, then there's not real connection.
Yeah, we often aren't trained or mirrored or shown that part of that equation is simply listening to understand, listening to be open. Sometimes it's listening just simply to engage in empathetic energy. Sometimes it's shutting the hell up and just letting somebody through. You know, I am often guilty of it myself, where you kind of get caught jumping three steps ahead to answer, validate, or try to justify something. Try to make your point before you acknowledge the point of another. Yeah. That's one of my biggest downfalls at times.
Yeah, that listen to understand versus listen to respond. When I was in college, I was a debater. So what you do when you're in debate is you would listen, but you're only listening to respond. You don't care about the other person. Obviously, it's a game. It's a competition. And you're trying to win. So you listen enough so that you know how to respond. And it's all kinds of strategies. One strategy is you listen enough and then you interrupt and then you try to get away, or you throw out so many different ideas that they can't even respond to all of them. So there's all kinds of ways that you can do this debate thing. But very interesting, I trained myself to listen to respond. So now I have to constantly remind myself, you got to listen to understand. And sometimes that means you don't talk for a while because you're really trying to understand the point. And sometimes it means you're asking clarifying questions. So what did you mean by this? You said this. I think I'm guilty of this in my marriage. I often listen to respond versus listen to understand. And when I respond too quickly, I often miss my wife's heart about what she's talking about.
That could be one of the biggest challenges, you know, is in that interpersonal relationship, your mate,
right.
You're so entwined and embroiled that you think you're connected, but you're not. You think you're connected, but you aren't being open to the authentic person. That's a challenge sometimes.
Yeah. So often in talking, we think we're connecting or we're not, going for that give and take. And we're saying at something where we told them, but we didn't connect. We didn't make sure they understood it. We didn't make sure they felt the way that we felt. And so if you think about a boss, have you ever had a boss talk to you and tell you to do something? And you went away and you may have done it, may have not done it. And then afterwards, yeah, he comes in and clarifies something and there's some argument or something, or he didn't live up to the expectations. And there's a disconnect between what he said and how you heard it. And I think so many problems that we have in the work world, or think about a movie. So many problems that we have in movies are simply this lack of communication. I was thinking to myself, everybody would get together in the movie. If all the characters would get together and say what they meant and really put it out there, then there would be no conflict. Of course, there'd be no movie at that point. The movie needs the conflict. But in life, we don't need the conflict. So if we get it out there, understand each other, seek to understand each other, and empathize, man, what a better spot we're going to be.
Speaking to that kind of movie theme, so often we play the role in our lives of emotional vampire. We're feeding on that emotional energy of our own response, you know, our own conditioning, our own patterning. The biggest challenge is finding that space where I see this emotion in me. Do I choose to form all of my action out of that energy? And is this a productive thing for either party that's involved when it's a communication gap? That's right. A tough one.
It really is. And as emotional vampires, I think there's a lot of our need for, we need to say what we mean and mean what we say more often. And with emotional vampires, one of the things that we need to say is stop, no, boundaries. But then we need to back it up with our action. That really takes that emotional vampire's power away, because then they're not able to suck us dry for creating boundaries. Those show up in so many different areas, in family lives and others. And if we can get good at setting boundaries and communicating those boundaries and then putting the meaning behind them, I think our energy levels are going to go so much further up. And we don't need that drain on us.
Yeah.
A lot of this comes back to emotional intelligence. you know, emotional intelligence became a big buzzword in the 90s. And I was recently working with a team and I was walking them through some of this emotional intelligence. And I think it's very vital if we look at the people that we really respect in life, it's often not their technical skills that we really respect. We might go, yeah, that's awesome. It's often not their IQ that we really respect, although we might appreciate it, but it's their ability to interact with others at an emotional intelligent level. And it's very interesting, emotional intelligence, every single person who writes on this topic will tell you, it starts with yourself. It starts with yourself. And then before you move to somewhere else, which is often where we want to jump, it starts with yourself. Before I'm able to connect with my audience, it starts with self. Before I'm going to have value and contribute and see the value in others, I have to see the value in self. I can't stay there because if it's all about self, yeah. And it's self-absorbed.
Which alignment of self are we looking at and how do we effectively find the self-presence that is effective for us, that is essential in how we be and how we do with others? You know, are we self-absorbed? Are we self-aware? Self-centered sometimes I feel is given a bad rap because if you aren't centered within yourself and then acting outwardly in a balanced manner, you create the havoc, you create the chaos and turmoil. So, you know, I think that there can be a disconnect there sometimes in that understanding. Centering yourself and being self-centered where you only view yourself might have a disconnect there in our vernacular and how we often view it.
Yeah, the center on self, self-centered in the sense of if it's all about ourselves, self-absorbed, it's definitely not. Because if you're self-absorbed, you're definitely not connecting with others, right? You're just absorbed in yourself. And if you think about like a cloth, if you absorb the fullness of a bathtub in that cloth, it's not able to absorb anything else. So we don't be self-absorbed. But that self, I love emotional intelligence says, starts with self-awareness. Where are you? What are your emotions? What's going on inside of you? Even kind of going back to that wound aspect. What's happening inside of you? And then it moves into self-regulation. Are you able to manage your emotions? Are you able to regulate them? To be aware of them. Now, what do you do with them? If I'm far away from the microphone right now and I'm not aware of it, then no one's going to be able to listen. But if I'm far away and then I become aware that I'm far away from the microphone, then I can regulate where I stand and I can move closer to the microphone. And the third part of that, so that emotional intelligence is the ability to motivate ourselves. So those are all starting with me. The first three of the five components of emotional intelligence are self-awareness, self-regulation, self-motivation. And then it gets away from that self-absorption and it gets into empathy. You mentioned empathy earlier, that ability to feel and understand what someone else is going through.
I'm going to sit and marinate in that one for a while. You know, that soak that up. It makes, you know, sense to us. You know, time out, guys. Though, let's back it up. We're supposed to be talking about confidence today. How does this all connect to confidence? Let's look at that angle. How are we connecting this to confidence? It all adds up to building that sense of value and awareness of yourself and your surroundings and your experiences. So you know how you're connecting with things. So you're aware of how you connect with things. Right. How do you relate with that?
When it comes to confidence, it's so fascinating that a lot of people try to start with external skills, which is fine. You can dress your best. You want to look sharp, but all of that's faking it. So I tell people, absolutely learn the external skills of confidence. Learn how to fake it, but only so far as you're also making it up in the inside. So don't just try to look confident and appear confident. Also work on this inside. Who are you? Being emotionally intelligent is a huge aspect of confidence. If I'm self-aware, I now know I can regulate my emotions. And I know I can motivate myself in the way I need to so I achieve the goals I set out for myself. And I empathize with the people I'm talking with and relating to. Then I get to this fifth outside component, which is social skills. So emotional intelligence, when I'm aware of myself, when I can understand and empathize and connect with others, and I can relate to others, I got the external skills. Now that's a confident grounds for being a leader, being a communicator, being a boss, being a manager. All that is so vital. Right now, I'm working on my fifth book. got a couple books coming out. And this one is called Speak With Confidence. So Speak With No Fear. It's got like 450 reviews on Amazon. It's been pretty cool.
Awesome.
So I talk about taking things away that remove insecurity was speak with confidence. I talked about this. There's three sources of confidence: your identity, which is going back to a lot of that emotional intelligence aspect, the value aspect, the overcoming fear aspect, that internal aspect, your messaging, and your skills. So if you're going to go out and talk to people and you want to develop confidence, first view yourself as you need to be. Think through, do I like myself? Because if you don't like yourself, you're going to be very insecure about other people liking you. Yeah. So do what you need to do to be comfortable in yourself, that emotional awareness, that identity, value.
Yeah.
Get really comfortable in your own skin. I tell people, it's really good for you to listen to yourself, to watch yourself, to see yourself in the mirror, not for the sake of bragging or boasting or thinking you're better than others, but just seeing, hey, this is me. This is what I look like. This is how I sound. And writing out your values. Who are you? Because your confidence starts with you. It starts with who you are on the inside, what happens in your brain. Now, at the same time, you've got to be very careful because there's two ways to develop absolute confidence and get rid of fear, but both of them are a trap. Arrogance and apathy. Like if you're arrogant, you will be confident. You'll have no insecurity because you think you're better than everybody else, but you're also not going to impact people. Or if you're apathetic, you just don't care what people think, then you'll be confident, but you'll be disconnected. So start with yourself, get to this place of acceptance and appreciation. And then in the area you want to grow in confidence, be able to speak about that and communicate, know the message. Like I have no confidence talking about medicine, no confidence. So I'm going to go and talk to somebody and say, Mike, what kind of medicine should I take for this? I don't know. I have no confidence and I shouldn't, but ask me a topic I know about and that understanding is going to come through. And then finally, the confidence comes from your skills. So if you're coming into a workplace, an interview, be sure of yourself, know what you're going to say, know how to answer, organize it in your brain, and then do it in a confident way. Look sharp, talk sharp, use skills. If you're going to go on a date, same thing, confident of yourself, not worrying about what they're thinking about you or what they concern about you. Know who you are and don't let someone change your inside values unless they need to change. Organize what topics you can talk about and then do it in a coherent, skillful manner. Eye contact, physical presence, all of those different things. Again and again, that's a recipe for confidence, identity, messaging, and skills.
Looking at that idea of values, we aren't often given the skill set to form that reasoning. We learn so much in our patterning from our upbringing at a very young age. That could be an area we could really look at in education, whether it be from a parental aspect. You know, it should start in a home. That's where our greatest influence is. Understanding, taking time to say, what has meaning for me? That is the core genesis of what we value. What has meaning for me, or what meaning do I generate from my experience? We're not often taught those things.
No, we're not. We're often not taught those things at school.
Yeah. Till it's too late. Many times. Till it's too late. And it's like, oh shit, what do I do now? You know? But at its simplest, as an adult, it's easier for us to go back and say, there were certain things I might have missed on the route here. You know, there are things I didn't pack in my baggage, because we all have a bag of things we carry through life.
Right.
What things aren't creating good momentum for us? What things do we need to unpack and say, let's look at this and reorganize it? One of the things we do is we don't learn properly or in a way that's productive for us or for others to say, these are values that create meaning for me. These are the things I operate from. This is my system of work, my system of interacting, my system of speaking is a little flawed today. My system of how I communicate.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch that's not taught. Growing up, partly, I mean, nowadays, a lot of education is relegated to TV, entertainment.
Yeah.
I think if we look at the common household, and I'm guilty of this at times too, is that there's more entertainment than there is education. And often even what I do with my son at night when I'm putting him to sleep, I'll talk about our values. And again, so we have three family values and we'll talk about them in bed at night. Often before school, if I'm driving him to school, I'll say, what are our family values? Walking through that. But it's hard to be that intentional, especially when we have big lives. And then when we're not busy, we're doing entertainment. It's not just that. It's in the educational realm too. A lot of people who I work with, they got their MBA, they got their doctorate, and yet they're still struggling in confident communication. So where is it that along the way we've taught people the skills to do something, but not the skills to talk about what they do? And I think a lot of our teachers aren't skillful in their own, our professors. I had lots of professors who weren't skillful in communication. They got the point across, but they weren't skillful. And so you can't teach something that you don't know how to do.
Yeah.
So we got this whole educated workforce that can't confidently say what they're doing, and confident communication equals currency. So we have a lot of money that's being lost on the table, dropped on the floor, simply because people aren't getting their point across.
Yeah, that's a big egg to look at right there. We got a lot of different experiences, a lot of different cultural expectations to form what is of value. You know, that's one thing to earmark. That's a whole nother conversation and show. We also got the aspect of looking at where does that responsibility fall? Where does that responsibility fall? Ultimately, we should be working on it together, wherever, you know, learning together in our workplaces, because we base 90%, whatever percent, you know, that's pulling one out of the cloud, whatever percentage of our energy, the lion's share from my perspective goes toward as an adult our work life. And as a youth, packing our baggage for that work life. You know, maybe if we realign some of this stuff early on and say, let's put the importance first on learning how to put the foundation under the house, so to speak, so much of our world that's our house, our home, our center of being won't be crumbling around us. That's a broad view. But unless somebody finally steps back, unless we get consistent about stepping back and saying, let's lean into the broad view stuff, it's not really that broad, and go back to square one and really put the foundation there. We start forming that real change, or we continue to mirror, perpetuate, and reflect these generational patterns we carry through and just repeat.
Yeah, there's so much that's just passed on to us that we're not even aware of. And if I were to go back to the emotional intelligence aspect of this,
yeah,
being aware of not only what's going on here, but being aware of your path that you came from, being aware of the influences that have spoken into your life. I think one of the great practices I've done at different times is tracked through who are the 20 most influential people in my life and really think through, okay, why is that person influential? They gave me this value. That person led me on this path. That person spoken to me this way. If you think through the 20 most influential people in your life and ask the reason why is that person influential, you'll probably get a good understanding of what you have. If you find out that, shoot, the people that are most influential are mostly negative, then there's going to be some work to do to switch out. And honestly, some of the influential people are going to be negative. I'm not saying positive influence, just who are the people who've shaped you?
Yeah.
And that way you don't think, I'm just this way, it's just who I am. No. You're this way because of your nature, yeah, but there's also a lot of nurturing that happened along the way. You didn't get to be that 30-something-year-old, that 70-something-year-old, the 21-year-old, just purely because there was a path that took you here. It's called life. And being aware of where you got your insecurities or your confidence or your apathy or your joy, being aware of that is a huge part of then being able to translate into that, into the success and the light you want.
You know, it's curious to me looking at that angle of the negative influence. Mm-hmm. So often we're quick and easy to lean into, you know, I can name off in a heartbeat at literally a click 20 things I dislike about a thing, a person, experience, anything without any kind of second guess of it, without, you know, even second thinking it. Yet when we challenge ourselves, and there again, is it a challenge to go back and say, but these are the things I hold value in. These are the things that bring me joy. These are the things that bring purpose. These are the things that make me intentional about what I do. That's a big one to look at for me.
It's very interesting to think through. Some of the people who've been the most influential in my life are people I've never met, but they're people that I've purposely put in my path, which gives me hope. Because if you look back and you go, okay, when I think about the 20 most influential people in my life, one was this person who told me I couldn't do it, or this boss who passed me up for promotion, or my friend who ditched me, or a love of my life who I thought I'd be together with and didn't, what wasn't together with that person. And if you think through those 20 influential people and see that there's a fair amount of negative, well, the great thing is that you can choose new influences. So I've exposed myself to certain teaching again and again and again, whether that's podcasts, books, audio books, whatever else they might show up on YouTube, sermons, politicians, whatever it might be. And you're filling your mind with that as you start to learn their values and their teaching and their coaching, that slowly replaces what other influences are there. What's the cool thing about that influential list is it can be moved. Now, some will always be on that list, most likely. Parents probably going to be there for good or bad, probably going to be on that list. But there's others that could be moved down the value list. One of the people who used to be on the top five has moved down. Absence of him in my life and me listening to more people.
Yeah.
That was a good influence at the time. He's moved down that list, replaced by people who've been more present. And I would encourage people, if you want to find out where your confidence is coming from or your insecurity comes from, do a 10 to 20 most influential people in your list and then ask yourself, what has this person produced in me?
I think even more aligned with that is, how do I choose to respond to that influence? You know, ultimately it governs down to our choice of action, reaction, and then how do we project back out into the world? So there's a cycle to look at. How often do we disconnect from that cycle? I've been really enamored with the Joe Dispenza book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. So many groundbreaking, insightful angles in this book. One of the things they break down is this very notion of a cell or an atom, you know, a particle of being and how it interacts. When we're taught in school, back to my day, it's been a bit ago, we were taught that it was this linear motion, you know, one speck circling around things. This new kind of knowledge we're gaining now of how our very fiber of being interacts, our very matter interacts, is that it is more of an open field, more of a 3D approach where all of these things interact in a harmony together. You know, we've lost sight of that existence that we are designed at our fabric to interact in a harmony, to have a multi-dimensional, multi-depth experience of what we are and how we exist. When we look at things from a linear approach, we're kind of going back into that kind of one level of thinking that only allows us to project and to convey forward in a very limiting fashion. You know, it's dependent on going up some of those steps.
Yeah, there's so much when we just even look about ourselves is, where are we going? And I think that's what I was thinking about when you're talking about that. Where are we going? What steps are we taking? Are our steps taking us towards the goal we want to have? Are they taking us to the values that we want to embody? Are they taking us down a path that we don't want?
Yeah.
Are they taking us to light? Are they taking us to darkness? And we're never just going in a purely linear fashion. We might go up five steps and down two.
Shooting ladders. I always equate that back to that game of shooting ladders. We play that as a kid, and we have a different mentality about that action of sliding up, getting down, making progress. It's fun. When we get to adults and we're playing the adult game of shooting ladders, we often get dejected in that experience. You know, we slide back. We're simply just moving through this game called life to enjoy it, you know, and we put more focus and value in the process of sliding up, ascending, going down. And where do we put the meaning in that? And should that be that broad of a meaning? Should that bring us our value? Can we balance that?
When we go down and we take those ladders down, we often see it as failure.
Yeah.
Or we got rejected by others. And I always tell people, embrace rejection. That part of even gaining confidence and discovering light is that embracing rejection, that you don't have to fear it, you don't have to run from it, but to embrace it and deal with it in the right way, kind of going back to cleaning that wound.
Yeah.
That instead of letting it fester, you actually do something with it. And especially if you got a great support system around you, embrace that rejection. It's actually going to make you stronger, because you're going to, that resistance strengthens muscles. So does it resistance. On more of a personal level, strengthen the muscle of confidence.
Yeah.
That's what confidence is. It's just a form of muscle.
There again, can we take that another notch and say, do we embrace and hold on to this notion of whatever my expectation was of this? You know, that's what failure ultimately is we're embracing an expectation. We're trying to control a result. We're trying to influence our will. We're trying to project our experience upon it. can we grow, or, you know, is it even a growth? Can we move into an alignment that's more essential and more aware for us by saying, I'm aware of this experience, but I'm not forming the attachment to it. I'm not forming an ego bond with it. I'm just simply understanding it. I'm simply having a knowledge of it. And then finding the way to create a different meaning in that. I think sometimes we can create our own limitation and downfall by saying, I'm embracing it, because you hold that energy in you. You hold that awareness with you. Sometimes you're holding all of this other baggage that's down in that shadow subconscious.
Yeah, there's definitely, and that holding that baggage is definitely going to pull you down.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with giving it a big old hug and embracing it. Sometimes you got to give it that big old hug and say, you know, love on it, whatever, acknowledge it.
Yeah, what I'm talking about, embracing rejection, it's more the idea that a lot of people run from it, or like run to it. If you actually want to, think about it, the best salespeople are people who are not afraid to get hear no.
Yeah.
The reason why they're not afraid to hear no is they've found out that no is not final. That just because you heard a no when you were dating doesn't mean that you shouldn't date anymore. Just because you heard a no on the first sale doesn't mean you shouldn't sell that anymore.
That's a great point to jump in. You know, I looked at sales with great fascination. I don't profess to be real proficient in it, but I watch my son, who is making a living at sales. He makes an excellent point of it because he is interacting with people. He's not trying to sell people. It's that confidence of, I know the product. I, more than that, I am open to listen to what you actually need. We don't function as human beings from a lot of angles of being that open source to say, what do you need? How do we co-create? We're too busy trying to tell people what we think they need. You want to be a good salesperson? Don't tell somebody what they need. Ask. It's that damn simple.
That's the principle. Whoever does the most amount of talking loses.
Yeah. You know, you can talk and convince, but that's where we have most of our problems in life, because somebody's talked and convinced us of shit we don't actually need. We've all got drawers full of them, junk at home. We bought this item, this worldly gig, this whatever. And we've all literally got these junk drawers that are nothing we need. We carry that in a lot of ways through life.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. There's a lot that we carry both inside in our thought life and our houses. There's just a lot of stuff that we carry that we don't.
I'll break it down from my perspective. You want to be a good salesperson? The best way to sell something to somebody is saying, what do you need and how can I get it for you? And if I don't have it, I'll be honest and tell you I don't have it, and maybe even be able to guide you somewhere where you can.
Right. I really appreciate it when a salesperson says, you know, I don't think what we have is actually what you personally need. And that's okay. I would love that. There's multiple people, there's multiple products out there. The reason why we don't have...
It's mutually beneficial, you know? If we get contacts day in, day out, I know I do, maybe you do also. People, as soon as we connect, the first thing they do is, you can see it coming now.
Right.
Didn't ask me a thing, didn't take time to understand the worldly gig that I actually need.
Right. Right. And if somebody really understands what I need, and it goes into that awareness of self, and to where does it meet? If someone really understands what I need, then they can actually respond. It's going back to that. Listen to understand. Listen to understand.
Yeah.
Then when you really, really, really understand, then you can respond. Now, how many times has a salesperson tried to sell us something that we never said we needed? Like, we go onto the lot and we say, you know, hey, I'm looking for a new car. And they take us, oh, let me take you to this race car over here. I know, what a race car. I want a truck.
Yeah.
If they just ask more questions, they would get to a spot where they could respond. Yeah. Okay, I see what you're specifically looking for. Here's what you need. Here's what it is. Is this what you want? And if you feel like people respected you enough to listen, then you're more likely to buy.
Ultimately, we have to have the confidence in everything we do to be open to others. That is the ultimate confidence, to say, I can confidently accept and be open to what your potential is, and not try to enforce that mirror back upon them.
Right. Yeah, that confidence, without it, people don't buy into us. Without it, people don't buy from us. Without it, people don't want to follow us. So that confidence is so imperative to what we're looking at, is develop it internally, develop it with your thoughts, develop with your skills, regardless, develop it.
You know, at its core, what it often says is, I'm not confident in your ability to judge what you value. That's the biggest subconscious takeaway that we trip on, is we aren't confident that we can allow somebody to be simply who they are.
Yeah, we often want them to change. And if people are trying to be someone that they're not, that is a huge recipe. I talk about that and speak with no fear.
Yeah.
I said, one of the things is if you're not being you, and not that you can't improve yourself, but if you're not being you, true to the interior values that you have, it's going to be very difficult for you to lead with confidence, to live with confidence.
We've mentioned that upcoming book a number of times. Let's back up a little and get kind of the quick elevator pitch on the book, the why, the how, and how that's going to create meaning for others.
Yeah. So there's actually the one that's already released is Speak With No Fear. And that's about taking off the dirty clothes of insecurity when you're speaking. And then the upcoming book, Speak With Confidence, which is putting on that clean clothes of confidence. And really in life, there's things that you need to take off and there's things that you need to put on. There's not just one or the other. And if you've got some festering wounds in your life, darkness inside, take that off first before you try something new. But if the person who goes from relationship to relationship, there's something that you need to learn, right? You need to learn what is happening in my relationship. What's the self-sabotage? And then I need to put on new skills for the new relationship. Before that, or job to job, or whatever it might be, take something off and then put something on. And speaking, take off the insecurity in speaking, the fear of speaking, and put on that confidence. Say, maybe as a final challenge to all of your listeners here, what are you wearing that you need to take off? If you were going about your day and you went out with some friends and you knew that your shirt stank because you had worked out earlier, then you know you should take that off, wash it up, and put something new on. But what are you doing in your professional life? What are you doing with your mental attitude? What are you doing with your habits? What are you doing in your relationships? What are you doing in your speaking? What is something dirty, like a dirty clothes, a dirty smelling clothes that you can take off? Get rid of those thoughts. Stop those limiting beliefs. Get rid of those actions. Take action on your habits. And then what is something new you can do? Habits don't often just get taken away. They get replaced. Don't just try to remove it. Replace it. So put on something new. So take off the dirty clothes and put on some clean clothes.
Yeah, that brings me back to that great James Baldwin quote. And I knew we'd get back to this instinctually today. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until we face it.
Yeah.
That's such a great way to illustrate things. Hey, thanks for bringing that to light for us. And thanks for sharing that wonderful book. You know, I'm looking forward to also checking out that book.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for sharing this message with your community, with your audience.
Likewise, Mike, you know, this has been such a great conversation. I know I say that often, but you know, I truly am inspired by you and I'm truly inspired by the energy you bring to the world. Yeah. Thank you for that, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for sharing this message with your community, with your audience.
This has been great. You know, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride all over the place, but I feel, you know, that has led us down so many interesting paths to explore and kind of take away, you know, find what you need to change in your life to create value and meaning. Find that spot that makes sense to you. So thanks for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great to be on here. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Such a pleasure. I'd love to have you back anytime you'd like to come join us. I'm here for you, brother.
Hey, thanks so much, Jeffrey. Thanks for just sharing this with others and appreciate your flexibility with meeting. And looking forward to hearing how your audience receives it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Jeffrey. We'll talk to you later.
What battles are you facing in life, calling you to make peace with them? And what can you leverage to influence the outcome you create with them? Picking powerful influences is a key to designing the success we create in our lives. Who and what are your most powerful influences shaping and guiding where your journey of discovery leads? When we step back to examine our lives, what is something we need to shed in order to become what we might be? What are you allowing yourself to unbecome is so often just as important, if not more so, than what you are becoming. Get in the habit of becoming comfortable with change, making it your friend, and trying on new ways of being and doing. Being either comfortable or uncomfortable is a relationship, one only you should engage in envisioning how you are creating.
It's never about what you should or shouldn't do. The perspective is yours to relate to. Either state will serve what you simply choose to believe in the experience. Ask yourself, does this belief empower me or inhibit me? Then move towards the direction which brings your reality to life. In the immortal words of the great poet and prophet Robert Nesta Marley, none but ourselves can free our minds. Now is the time to emancipate you, yourself, from self-limiting mental slavery. Mike and I have shared some amazing information about how you can leverage emotional intelligence to create more confidence in your life. But now we want to know what you found meaningful in today's show. Leave us a message at www.thelightinside.us or tag us on social media at The Light Inside Podcast, sharing what inspired you the most in this episode. We are grateful to be able to continue helping you, our valued listening community, discover your light inside. Remember to continue to support the growth of our program by sharing feedback or leaving us a review on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you find your favorite show, sharing with others why you enjoy our program here at The Light Inside. Join us next episode as we share a discussion with master craftsman Charles Collins, exploring how to utilize the principles and tools of the craftsman approach to build a life we truly love. Tune in next episode to start your apprenticeship with us on The Light Inside.